Kevin was showing us in the larger room where he was governing. He said that his grandfather, Mintos Salos, used to have a tish there. He said he used to have a tish, he used to have two tish. One bigger tish for all the Hasidim, and then he had a smaller tish. Only the Dayanim and the Talmid HaChachamim, and that's the second small tish that took place in that room where he was davening. They all used to tell all the Sipuri Tzadikim. They didn't say Torah, only Sidur Tzadikim. And after years went by, the Rebbe decided that if our generation is weaker, he saw that Yerida Satiris, so he discontinued the Sipuri Tzadikim, but he felt that there wasn't any place. Then the room where the Rebbe was giving all the brachas, he used to call that the Kodesh HaKadoshim. I don't know, maybe that's what the family called it. But his grandfather used to sit and learn there all day long. He said when his grandfather used to go to Davin, Incha, Myra, whatever, he would always ask everyone in the house who has any money left over, have to give away every penny to the Aniyim. There would always be Aniyim waiting. And he thought, what right do I have to tell the people they should give tzedakah if I don't give? So he gave away, every day he gave away the last penny that he had. When he used to go to shul. The family used to consider that room the Kodesh HaKadosh. He, as a little child, used to wonder, how could it happen that the Nazis destroyed the Kodesh HaKadosh where his grandfather sat and learned, and that the Soviets took it over? How can it happen? He said it was a silly kasha, because the Roman army destroyed the Kodesh HaKadosh and Mamish in the Beis HaMikdash. So why is it so impossible to destroy the Kodesh HaKadosh over here? It was bothered with the kasha for many years. So he says, so many years went by, and then they bought back that building, and he always knew that there was one room where his grandfather learned, and they couldn't find the room. Then they came to the realization that room was locked up. It wasn't open for 50 years. There was a safe in that room. Outside of the room was always locked under the Russians. The Russians were there for 50 years. He says the room was locked. And just like in America, you have sometimes in emergency break the glass and take something out. So he says here there was a sign that said, in case of extreme emergency, break the glass. So after 50 years, when they brought back the building, they broke the glass. And inside there was something written in Ukrainian. He doesn't read Ukrainian. But they got one of the local people to read it. So it said, in case of emergency, you broke the glass, go inside. It tells you what the code is to open up this door, or to have a key to open the door, whatever. Then it tells you the code for the safe inside. Go into the safe and read the instructions. So he says, he didn't know this, that whenever there's a big army, so the generals all have to be restrained. They can't do whatever they please just to win the war. They're allowed to go so far, not further. So no one was allowed to go into that room, the Kodesh HaKadosh. The Soviets never went to that room. That room contained the instructions just in case there's an emergency, they're losing the war or whatever, go to the safe. And so they opened up the safe, and there was nothing there. So found that the instructions that were hidden away were taken away from the safe. So he said, from that he also learned the lesson that the Jewish people, all like generals in the army, we all have a limit, what we're allowed to do, what we're not allowed to do. Everybody has to act in accordance with the instructions. And he says, that room is mitzvah from the Soviets. And then he said, his grandfather died in the other room, in the room next to it, where the bedroom was. And he told the story about him. He said, I think what he said was, when he was 14, he was learning in Tel Aviv in Cleveland. They thought that he was too short for his age. So they said he ought to see a doctor. So they took him to this Dr. Rosenthal. Then Dr. Rosenthal told him, did you know who your grandfather was? Told him the whole story. And then he says, you're not too short for your age. You're normal. It's only min hashamayim that you should come and meet me, and I should let you know who your grandfather was. To tell him that story.
The Minchas Avodah is known for his chugas. He has among his chugas a defense of the Hasidic practice to dance bikudim on Shabbos and Yontif, even though the Mishnah says that it's not permissible. Talmidim prohibited dancing on Shabbos and Yontif, lest people would get carried away.
the Kedusha, there's nothing to be concerned about, that they may sin, because since they have this Islamist Kedusha, they cannot possibly fall into sin. So by the Sfardim, they're very medactic about this. They follow the Mishnah and the Rif and the Rambam, and says you're not allowed to dance. So Chacham Ovadia, who passed away recently, writes in one of his Chuvos, he doesn't understand this defense that the Mikos Avoza has. Only the Hasidish and Tzadikim know how to dance with the Islavas to Kedusha. The Tanoim also could dance with the Islavas to Kedusha. He says it's baloney. He quotes with big respect the Mikos Avoza. Everybody quotes with big respect. He thinks that Chuvos is a humorous one. How can you say that only the Hasidish and Tzadikim have Islavas to Kedusha? Tanoim also certainly has whatever Islavas to Kedusha they have. They certainly have. In Germany, it was Yadua that it did. Already at the beginning of the Reform Movement, there were so many Jews that were not Shomer Shabbos. So the Binyan Zion, which is a Chuvah Sefer written by Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger, same author as the Orach Laner commentary on the Gemaras. So the Binyan Zion writes in his Chuvah, he doesn't think that the din that appears in the Gemara that one is not called Shabbos Pepper Esia, you can't be Mazar from Dominion if he's Shabbos, Shkitas, and Avela, and so on and so forth. He doesn't think the din applies to Dan Azeb. Because Machal Shabbos Bifra Hesia is not enough that it's Machal Shabbos Bisho Bimezin. Has to be Bimezin, has to be in a demonstrative fashion that he's breaking the discipline in the community. The rest of the community are Shomeri Shabbos, and he's breaking the discipline. So the Binyan Zion writes that unfortunately there's so many Mahalei Shabbos like today in America or in Eretz Yisrael. The majority are not Shomrei Shabbos. You can't say that those of Mahalei Shabbos are breaking the discipline. Unfortunately, the discipline has been broken already. So Mintos HaLuzer lived here in Munkach. In Munkach, the overwhelming majority were Shomrei Shabbos. So he disagrees with the Binyan Zion. He says the facts are not true. Yes. In Munkach, the facts were not true. But in Germany, in America, Hazanish writes also the same thing. That today, because there's so many Mahalei Shabbos, you can't consider that.
Thank you to Noemi.
Thank you very much. So this to them. So the thing
must be a hot. Or is it a taco?
Is known for is his position against establishing a Medina. When the Agudas Yisrael held the Knesset HaGdoila in 1936 or something, and they were discussing whether it's permissible to agree to the suggestion of having a partition plan to divide Palestine into two parts, and part will be given to the Jews and part will be given to the Arabs. So there was a big machlekes at that convention of that Agudas Yisrael. Is it permissible to us to sign such an agreement? We're not allowed to give away Eretz Yisrael to anybody else. So many of the rabbanim thought you're not allowed to agree to such a thing you're giving away. Rabbi Chaim Eiser, and the majority held, what mean giving away? We don't have anything now. It's under the control of the British. Whatever they'll give us, we'll sign an agreement with taking the half that you give us. The half that you won't give us in the future, the Rabbi Shlomo will see we're never going to get that. So that was the whole machlokes. Is it permissible to sign a partition plan? But no one from the Aguda, no one from the Knesset HaGdoila held that you're not allowed to establish a Medina. That was a lot of the Hezbollah. So the Minchas HaLuzer boycotted that he was against the Aguda. He held that, as we mentioned, 50 times. He held the Akhmud is worse than Mizrahi, Mizrahi is worse than the secular Zionists. Because the Agudah claims that they're anti-establishing Medina, and really they do want to establish Medina. So he boycotted that Knesset because he knew they wouldn't give him the right to speak. So that's the main thing that he is known for. He was opposed to establishing Medina, and this is based on the following story. The Rambam wrote a Sefer HaMitzvahs where he lists off what in his opinion are the 613 mitzvahs. Rambam was not the first and he was not the last. And he gives you the rules and regulations. The first half of the Sefer HaMitzvahs, he lists off the 14 klalim, the 14 guiding principles to determine what belongs in the minyan mitzvahs and what not. Then the second half, he lists off what in his opinion are the 248 mitzvahs I say, which are the 365 mitzvahs I say. So the Rambam does not mention as one of the mitzvahs that there's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. The Ramban disagrees with the Rambam here and there. He deletes a mitzvah here, he deletes a mitzvah there, and then he has to come up with the same number, 248 mitzvahs, I say, 365 mitzvahs, I say. So at the end of the section in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, where the Rambam completes the 248 mitzvahs, I say, the Ramban gives you a list of additional mitzvahs which the Rambam forgot to count. And then the end of the section on the mitzvahs, I say, again, the Ramban gives a list because he deleted several of the Rambam's lavin, so he has to give a list of places in which the Rambam forgot to mention. So there's a famous Ramban in the Hashmatas to the Mitzvah Saseh, Mitzvah Saseh Dalit. He says the Rambam forgot to count the mitzvah of establishing a Medina in Eretz Yisrael, usually Eretz Yisrael. So the Rambam's talk is straight. How come he didn't count that mitzvah? Psukim in the Chumash. So some have defended the Rambam by saying that the Rambam holds, if Tessus HaGdolah writes like this, the Rambam's opinion is that the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, which is clear in the Gemara's, is the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, it's only midirabban, it's not an effort. And the Rambam's first halal is that you only listed the 613 mitzvahs, mitzvahs that were given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai, Tariq mitzvahs, Demel on the Moshe de Sinai, Torah Tikvara Moshe, Torah Gematrias 611, and the Nachi V'la'i L'cha have you heard from the Rebbe Shalom directly, so that adds up to 613. So the Knesset HaGdolah says the reason why the Rambam didn't count the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael because it's only the Rebbe. Most of the Achrenim hold that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. There's somebody psukim in the Chumash. It's famous that they once asked Rav Kook. Rav Kook was originally a Rav in Europe. He went to Valosh and he had a Rav on his. So they asked him, why did he get so involved in moving to Eretz Yisrael? It's famous that they asked Rav Kook, what got him so excited about moving to Eretz Yisrael? So he said, when you read Chumash, starting from Parshas Lech Lecha till the end, everything revolves about Eretz Yisrael. So that's what most of the poskim say. How can you say that according to the Rambam, the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael is only with their opponent? It's against the whole Chumash from the beginning to the end. Everything revolves about living in Eretz Yisrael. So the poskim can give different suggestions why the Rambam didn't count the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. So the standard commentary on the side of Sefer HaMitzvahs is a Sefer written by a man whose mother passed away, and to memorialize his mother, he named the Sefer after his mother. It's called Megillas Esther. His mother's name is Esther. So the Megillas Esther comes to defend the Rambam, and he quotes, there's an Agadita in the end of Gemara Ksubis, but the Gemara points out that there's a pasuk that appears three times in Shir HaShirim, Mishpati Esther Meros Yerushalayim, in Te'iru Vim Te'iru Esa'avo Ad She'Techpos. The Kodesh Baruch Hu had the Jewish people take three Shavuos. This is the famous topic of the Shalosh Shavuos. The Rebbe Shalom, the Drei Bochen is not called the Shalosh Shavuos, the Drei Bochen is the Bein HaTzarim, or Shlosha Shavuos. And Shalosh Shavuos are the three oaths, the three Shavuos that the Bnei Yisrael took sometime before the days of Shlomo HaMelech, he's recording it. So the Gemara spells out what were the three Shavuos that Bnei Yisrael took, and one of them was that when we will be in Golos, we will not force the issue of establishing a Jewish Medina in Eretz Yisrael. So the Megillas Esther comes to defend the Rambam. He said the reason why the Rambam didn't mention the mitzvah is because The Rambam writes himself, you only include in the Sefer HaMitzvah 613 mitzvahs that are binding throughout all the future generations. If something doesn't apply throughout all the generations, then it doesn't belong in the Sefer HaMitzvah. So he says, since the Gemara says that when we are in Golus, we're not supposed to press the issue of establishing a Medina, so therefore this mitzvah doesn't belong in the Sefer HaMitzvah. It's only Ohira Shua. And we're not supposed to press the issue. When Moshiach will come, then we'll have a Medina. You're not supposed to press the issue now. So since it's a mitzvah, Shein and the Hegis Lederus, it doesn't belong in the Sefer HaMitzvah. So this is what the whole position of the Minchas Alozo is based on. This comment of the Megillah Esther, that the reason Megillah Esther was the first of the Paskin. Megillah Esther was early. He was the Shach already quotes. Shach lived in the late 1600s. He already quotes Megillah Esther, who was early 1600s. That Megillah Esther was the first to take that passage in the Gender Tzubis, which is in the context of an Agarita. And usually we don't Paskin any halachas based on Agarita. So he took that passage in the Gemara, which none of the Rishonim quote l'halacha. Rif, the Rambam, all of the Sifri HaPaskim, no one quotes this Shalosh Shavuos as a real din. So the Minchas Alozo quotes Megillah Esther, who was the first to take it, that this is a real halacha, that you're not permitted to press the issue of establishing a Medina. So the Avnei Nezer was a Sachet Shavu Rebbe. He died about 100 years ago, early 1900s, 1910s. So the Avnei Nezer has a whole tshuva. He was a Hasidish Rebbe. So the Hasidim asked him, is the two-part question, is there a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael? And if there is a mitzvah, how come the big tzaddikim, Hasidish Rebbe, didn't move to Eretz Yisrael? So he has a whole tshuva where he says, there certainly is a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. We'll get to it in a minute. And the reason why the tzaddikim didn't move to Eretz Yisrael is because the Hasidim wouldn't be there. They wouldn't be accomplishing anything for the economy of Eretz Yisrael, for the country. If you pave highways, or if you plant a farm, or if you build houses, or if you defend the country, or if you help the economy in Eretz Yisrael, you're doing yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. Just to live in Eretz Yisrael, that's a partial mitzvah, yeshiva of Eretz Yisrael. The real mitzvah is yeshiva of Eretz Yisrael, to do something to contribute to the improvement of the country. So since the rebbes wouldn't be able to, so the mitzvah would only be a partial kiyum mitzvah. So that's why the Siddush Tzaddikim decided to stay in Europe. So the Avnei Nezer has a long tshuva, a very famous tshuva, where he writes that this whole position is incorrect, that the Megillah Esther totally misunderstood what the Hasogas of Ramban was. He says, the Rambam did count the mitzvah to establish a Medina. The Rambam quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Rav, Shalosh mitzvahs etzava Yisrael v'chnisasim la'aretz. And the Rambam counts all three mitzvahs. One mitzvah to establish a Jewish government controlling all of Eretz Yisrael. The second mitzvah, Zara Shalom Molech. The third mitzvah, Libnus Lehem Beis Achira. Gemara learns that from Sukkim, that these three mitzvahs have to be fulfilled in this specific order. First, to establish a Jewish government and all the control of all of Eretz Yisrael. And then to write Beran Molech, and then to build the Beis Achira, to build the Beis Hamikdash. And the Gemara says explicitly that the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch that if Bnei Yisrael are in control of Medina Yisrael, they have a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael, and the Nachrim are not threatening to take anyone's life, they just want to take away part of Eretz Yisrael, that it should be under their government instead of under the Jewish government. The Gemara considers that the Melchemes Mitzvah, you have to go to battle even on Shabbos, to be Mechal Shabbos, to retain all of Eretz Yisrael, which is under Jewish control, to retain everything under Jewish control. So the Rambam does count the mitzvah to establish a Medina. The whole taina of the Ramban was why the Rambam didn't count the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. So that's what the Avnei Nezer says. So what did they say? Because the Megillah Esther answered, because you're not allowed to press the issue of establishing the Medina. Establishing the Medina, the Rambam did count that mitzvah. He didn't count the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. There was never an issur to live in Eretz Yisrael. That's not part of the Shalda Shavuos. So he says the whole Megillah Esther is totally mistaken. And his whole premise is also a mistake. He says Megillah Esther says that since when the Jews are in Golus, this mitzvah of establishing the Medina doesn't apply. So therefore it's a mitzvah shein in the Haggis Luderis. So he said that's utterly ridiculous. What about the mitzvah of bringing Lola Karbonis? When you don't have a base of Mikdash, you can't bring Karbonis. That's not called a Hirash. A mitzvah shein in the Haggis Luderis means a mitzvah that by its very nature is only Hirash of a temporary nature. But the mitzvah to have a Jewish Medina, that's a mitzvah in the Haggis Luderis. If you're not supposed to press the issue when you're in college, okay, but the principle it is Nagas Lederus. So he says the whole Megillah Esther is incorrect. Why, how come the Rambam didn't count the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael? Mitzvah established in Medina, the Rambam did count. Why didn't the Rambam count the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael? So all of several Mefarshim give different suggestions. Nobody's happy with what the Knesset HaGdola said, that the Rambam thinks that it's only Midirabban, and they think that doesn't make any sense. The Rambam also agrees. It's a mitzvah and a third to live in Eretz Yisrael. So the Avnei Nezer answers with a big breakkite, with a broad sweeping position. He says, the Rambam writes in Shoresh Tes, the number 9 of his 14 klolim, the first half of the Sefer Mitzvah, the Rambam lists off the 14 guiding principles that determine whether any particular mitzvah belongs in Sefer Mitzvah or not. So number 9, he says, if a mitzvah is repeated several times, like the mitzvah to wear tefillin appears in 4 different places, in the Parsha Kadesh Ve'yakiv Yachash Mava Yoyim Shamayim. So the Rambam says he's only going to count it one mitzvah to put on Shal Yad, one mitzvah to put on Shal Rosh. You don't count it 4 mitzvahs to put on Shal Yad, 4 mitzvahs to put on Shal Rosh. That's called a Kefala Mitzvah. So a Kefala Mitzvah is only counted once in the Minyan Mitzvahs. Then Avnei Nezer quotes from earlier Svarim, commentaries on the Sefer Mitzvahs La Rambam. What if you have one mitzvah that was given in order to lead up to another mitzvah? So if you're going to count twice, then you're counting the same mitzvah twice. The first mitzvah is simply to lead up to the second mitzvah. It doesn't have any other purpose. So he says over here, in last week's Sedra, Parshas Veschanan, we had a mitzvah, Achreim Tachrimi. This is a mitzvah to wipe out the Zayin Lulis. So how do you visualize the mitzvah? We should be Hachrim Tachrimim the Zayin Lulis, and we should all move back to America. So why do we chase out? Why do we wipe out the Zayin Lulis for? Obviously, Hachrim Tachrimim is in order that we should be able to live in Eretz Yisrael and not be influenced by the Nachrim, by the Yod Yavid Azar who are there. So that's why the Rambam, the Nezer claims, that's why the Rambam didn't count these as two distinct mitzvahs. Once he counted Achrim Tachrimim, it's self understood that that mitzvah leads up to the other mitzvah of our living in Eretz Yisrael. Other Mefarshim give different suggestions why the Rambam didn't count the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. So some say that it's included in the other mitzvah of Voi Sidbok, which the Rambam does count. We should try to do things which will bring us closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So living in Eretz Yisrael is Eini Hashem Elokecha Baruch Hu Bereishis Hashana Barach Rishon, means that there's more Hashgacha Pratis. In Chutz Lorets there's less Hashgacha Pratis than in Eretz Yisrael. So living in Eretz Yisrael is a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Voi Sidbok, to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you don't have to count it as a separate mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. It's part of the mitzvah of Voi Sidbok. Other Mefarshim suggest that the Rambam really agrees with the Ramban, who writes in his commentary on Chumash that every mitzvah is really enhanced if you fulfill it in Eretz Yisrael. When you daven mincha in Eretz Yisrael, it's a stronger key in a mitzvah than if you daven mincha in Chutz Lars. There are some Rabbanim who are traveling from Chutz Lars to Eretz Yisrael and have a choice of either davening before they leave Chutz Lars or davening when they arrive in Eretz Yisrael. So they'll choose to daven mincha, Meiris, whatever, when they arrive in Eretz Yisrael. Because every mitzvah is enhanced when you do it in Eretz Yisrael. The mitzvah of Sukkah makes more sense in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael never rains on Sukkah. That's normal. By us in America, it always rains on Sukkah. That's what the Mishnah says. Mishnah was written in Eretz Yisrael. So the Mishnah says, if it rains on Sukkot is a Simen Ra to the Jewish people. It's in Ra for those who live in Eretz Sukkot. It's not normal to rain there. In America, it always rains on Sukkot. Not a Simen Ra. So several of the Achrayim, several of the Mepharshim say the reason why the Rambam didn't come to Mitzvah to live in Eretz Israel is because each and every Mitzvah, Shabbos and Kashrus and Karas and Mishpachet, Tzitzis and Tefillin and Yom, everything is enhanced when you live in Eretz Israel. But the living Eretz is a prat. It's a detail within each one of the other 613 mitzvahs. The observance of all the esim, the observance of all the blalavin, is enhanced when you live in Eretz Yisrael. So this was a major dispute in the early 1900s. The Minchas Abuzo used to terrorize. He was so openly opposed to Zionism. Not all the Rabbanim in Hungary were so opposed, but he was such a terror, so they were all afraid to open their mouths against him. But the Ruba did not agree with him. The Pashto Ruba did not agree, but they were afraid to voice their opinion. That's what they write in the history books. The two major voices who were so opposed to Zionism were the Satmar Rebbe in Europe also, even before the war. Satmar Rebbe with the Minkatche Rebbe. They were the ones who were opposed. One of the Rabbanim who always was opposed to Zionism wrote a Sefer Eim Avonim Smecha. So he had to run away from the Nazis, and when he writes, he was in Budapest, and he realized that his whole shita of being opposed to Zionism was a big mistake, and if they wouldn't have all gone to Eretz Yisrael, they would have saved so many lives. And he wrote a whole Sefer. He writes that he's writing without any svarim. He doesn't have his library with him. I don't know, how could it be that he wrote without svarim? He quotes things verbatim. He quotes everything verbatim. He quotes Arachaim on Chumash, and he quotes Gemaras and Midrashim. He quotes everything. And he writes what a mistake it was that they didn't go to Eretz Yisrael. We should have, and then the end of the story was he was killed there in Budapest. He thought that he would be Nitzel, and then he was killed. He has, by the way, in addition to the Sefer Eim Avonim Smecha, he has very beautiful Svarim of Shadis and Chuvas that are regular style Shadis and Chuvas. It's not the Hungarian style. The Satmar Rebbe has Chuvas, has Svarim, but it's not the Yeshivish style. It's not the Litvish style. And this Eim Avonim Smecha has a modern style of Shadis and Chuvas, regular Chuvas. Retzer Zach, and everyone enjoys it. That the Reform movement instituted was, instead of screaming the davening out loud, they would pray in a very soft undertone, not to disturb all the other people. So because, maybe if it would have been instituted by an Orthodox rabbi, it would have been accepted. But the Maisa was instituted by the Reform. So that's why the Maharsham has a strong tshuva opposed, and the Minchas Aluza also has a very strong tshuva opposing it. They say a story about Rabbi Edison Abishitz, that they used to have conversations with the local Galach. And the Galach was complaining, how come when the Jews, I forgot already, had three complaints, how come when the Jews, when they dab and they scream so loud, and by the Catholics, the prayer service is so coveted, they don't scream so much. And he had another taina about screaming, and then the third taina was about a Jewish funeral. The screaming and wailing and crying, and by Catholics, it's always very coveted. So the Rebbe Rabbi Yonasan Abishit said on the first question, how come by us we daven, how come we scream so loud? He said, well, our God is already over 5,000 years old, so he's hard of hearing. Your God is a young guy, so you can hear better, so you don't have to scream that loud. I already forgot what the second complaint was, and the third complaint was about the funerals. They said, on that I agree with